praise, all the glory. Listen, all the time. Amen. Amen. Having said that, let's continue our series on Be Killing Sin. Be Killing Sin. Father, give us ears to hear, heart to believe, a mind to receive, and the will to do it. Let us focus greatly tonight upon your word, that we may grow thereby and take one step closer to being conformed to the image of your dear Son. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Foundation text, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I know, and I thank God, I just believe that Word of Life, you understand that we believe in repetition.
Yes, amen.
Believe in repetition. Reading over and over. We could easily skip the foundation scriptures. We've been reading them, I don't know, for several months. But I'm hoping that it's to get down in your heart and my heart. Yeah. In your ears and my ears. Ultimately in your lives and in my life. So that we may be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians 3:5, reading it from the ESV. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Kill it. Put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which amounts to and is idolatry. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Verse 12, Romans 6, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, keep us near the cross. Amen. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Hallelujah. Romans 6 and 12. Therefore, do not allow and keep on allowing sin to reign as king in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but instead present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. After all, he's the one who raised us.
Amen.
And your members as instruments of righteousness to God, the one who resurrected us from spiritual death. Lastly, Romans chapter 8. I mean, after all, does he not have the right to ask us to not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness? Amen?
Amen.
I didn't raise you from the dead to you go on living as a mere unchanged person. Amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 13 of Romans 8. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. Be killing sin. To kill sin means to deprive a thing of its power, to rob sin of its power, to deny sin of its power, to remove the power of sin. We don't have to obey it. To kill means to deprive a thing of its power, to destroy its strength, to crush it, to sap it of its might, its potency, and deprive it of its influence. In other words, bottom line, allow no member of your body to be used to sin against God. That's a decision that we make. Amen? And that's good news, because he told us to kill sin. He told us in Colossians 1, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. In other words, he's saying, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, he's saying deprive it of its power, destroy its strength, crush it, sap it of its might, its potency, and deprive it of its influence. That's what he's telling us to do. And we can mortify our sin, kill our sin every day. We mentioned that. That's done. One of the ways is to cultivate and develop new habits of godly living, combined with elimination of old sinful habits. In other words, whatever way you normally, habitually, it's not a word, knee-jerkily respond to a situation, right, just out of habit, which is a sinful way to respond, he is saying develop and cultivate a new habit of godly living. In other words, let your knee-jerk reaction be a godly reaction. Amen. There are five ways we talked about to be killing sin. Abstain from fleshly lust, one. Two, don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, watch and pray. Five, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only way that we fight this sin is that we understand it is a natural, a spiritual endeavor. Amen. All right. We were at the point where we were talking about some ways in which we can take up the sword of the Spirit as we get ready to close out this series. We're looking at some ways that we can take up the sword of the Spirit for the purpose of killing sin. One, we are to store, deposit the word in our hearts in abundance that we may not sin against. And you can't get much clearer than that. If you want to not sin, then get the word in your heart. It's simple as that. Now, getting the word in your heart. Now, it's simple as far as it being said. The struggle comes in the discipline to follow through with it. How do we get the word in our hearts? Well, that's the second one. Meditate the word constantly, consistently, and continuously. Went over to Joshua 1 and 8, Book of the Law, shall not depart out of thy mouth. We are to read it often, frequently repeat it, speak of it, refresh it in our memory. And we are to meditate day and night, mutter in a low voice, study, to pour over, to concentrate on, to focus on, to keep in mind, to rivet our attention to. And the Lord let us know whenever we have any leisure from the important operations of daily life, whether by day or by night, we are to be meditating the word of God. I'm going to go over again in Hebrew. I'm saying that really fast last time. In Hebrew, this verb literally means, talking about meditate, to mutter, read in a low voice. Here it means to study, to P-O-R-E, pour over, which means to concentrate on, to focus on, to keep in mind, to rivet or fasten our attention to. And you do this whenever there's a break in the action and the daily operations of life. So we ought to speak it, frequently repeat it, and so forth. We ought to meditate on it. Then third, the first two are for the third. If you don't do the third, the first two, you wasted your time. Because a lot of people can meditate the word. A lot of people can speak the word. But you and I both know that the breakdown is in a lack of obedience. And it's in a lack of constant, consistent, continuous obedience. You'll run across even a sinner that will do things right sometimes. Like you said, a broken clock is right twice a day. But that doesn't mean that the clock is operating all the other times. It's a broken clock. The key thing to meditating, the key thing to speaking, is the third thing. He said that thou may, that's the reason, that thou mayest observe, which means to be careful to do it. To impress upon the care necessary in deciding to do it. You are purposeful to watch over and impress upon you, I must do this. I am deciding to do this. And then I'm going to follow that decision with actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds really simple. But you understand when it's game time. And it's that fork in the road. Obey Satan or obey God. Obey your flesh or obey the Spirit. Then this little simple teaching, it's not so simple. Because you ought to say this, so you're not going to put in this work. I'm not going to throw my meditating and my speaking the word of God and reading the scriptures and so forth. I'm not going to throw that away by not doing it. So I'm going to observe to do. I'm going to impress on the care necessary in deciding my action to obey, to do according to half that is written. Okay, I just seen if you're awake. According to all that is written. It's just a trip when you run into Christians who just got a, you know, just a desire in this one area. But look at all this that you... Oh, my warning as a pastor, beware of those so-called Christians. When they just throw up on this one thing because you want to make... And it's usually something that's not... It's like the Pharisee. They were big on tithing. He said, but they overlooked the weightier matters of the law, like love and justice, treating folk right. So we ought to meditate and do according to all that is written therein. It means that we will carry out with the heart, the mouth, and the hand, the heart, mind, the mouth, your words, the hand, what you do. We're not going to just haphazardly obey the word of God. We're going to throw our entire being and do it with all of our heart, our mind, our mouth, or our words, and with all of our body or our actions in our hand. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
For then, now there's a reward. Even if you say, for then, you will make your way prosperous, which means you'll succeed in all of your undertakings. What a promise. Wow. And then you shall make your way prosperous. You'll act wisely in all the affairs of life. That's a tremendous promise. I mean, let's not just sidestep that. There's great reward in that. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll succeed in all of thine undertakings. And then thou shalt have good success, or you'll act wisely in all the affairs of life. What a promise. You'll find a Deuteronomy 1 and 8, Joshua 1 and 8 person is one who is successful in all their undertakings, and they are very wise. Mm-hmm. You can tell it. You'll see it. Unfortunately, you don't see many of them. Joshua 1 and 8 saints. I mean all three. And I thank the Lord that I'm believing that this church is full of those Joshua 1 and 8 saints. So, we are to store the word in our hearts. How do we do that? To meditate the word constantly, consistently, and continuously. And number three, we're going to start, well, we started reminding us. Third, here we go. Once you get in your heart through meditation, then what should be the result of it? Obey the word. Obey the word. I want to open up this again with a quote we did just last week, still reviewing. Someone once wrote, as important as the proper reception of the word of God is, and it is important to properly receive it, right? Get your mind right, heart right to receive it. That's important. Without obedience to its truths, it is not only without benefit, but becomes a further judgment against its readers. Why? Because it is a sin to not obey the word. So when you are hearing the word of God properly, then turn around and disobey what it tells you to do, then it's judging you rather than benefiting you, because the benefit only comes when you what? Obey. That's it. I will beat this horse dead. I'm telling you, this is the crux of Christian living. And this is the breakdown when they say, you call yourself a Christian. When they utter those words, it's because they're seeing you do that which is ungodly. Amen. Just think about that. So he says it's important to properly receive it, but without obedience to his truths, it is without benefit, and it passes judgment against you. He goes on to say, it is essential to hear the word with an attitude of submission. But even that is not enough. So you have proper reception and attitude of submission, But those in and of itself is not enough if there isn't obedience behind it. Amen? So he says even the proper attitude of submission, even though that is not enough. Obedience to the word is the most basic spiritual requirement and is the common denominator for all true believers. I don't care where you're from, what your socioeconomic standing is, your ethnicity or your culture, if you are a child of God, the basic common denominator for all true believers is obedience to the word of God. Lord, please help us to get this. Because apart from it, you just faking it. And you and what's sad is when a so-called Christian is satisfied fooling man. Yeah. By that I mean you're not obedient, but your disobedience is not brought to the light. You're disobeying in the dark. But in the sunshine, in other words, when everybody's seeing you, you look great. But you're satisfied with fooling the masses. That's sad. Because who you are before God is all that you really are. I said, who you are before God? Well, what do you mean, well, I forgot? Because God, you're still before God in the dark. When you're doing your deeds in the dark, you are still before God. So he sees, as the old song says, he sees all you do. Here's all you say. My God is watching all that's way back in the 60s back then, boy. For me, that might have even been the 50s. That's an old, but it's true. He sees all you do. Here's all you say. My God is watching all the time. So who you are before God is who you really are. You can't fool God. And to be honest with you, once you hear the Lord, you really recognize that you're not fooling yourself. Amen. Bottom line, finishing up the last comment. The bottom line of true spiritual life is not a momentary feeling of compliance or commitment. You're going to obey. And you do for a moment. So it's not that, but long-term obedience to Scripture. That's the bottom line. Read it again. The bottom line of true spiritual life is not a momentary feeling of compliance or commitment, comma, but long-term obedience to Scripture. That's how you judge a Christian. That's why I'm thankful that he made me a pastor and not an evangelist. Because I want to stay around and teach and walk you through and see the growth and see you meander your way to long-term obedience. That's a great day. Obedience. We just went over Joshua 1 and I just want to go back over that. Observed to do according to all that is in Scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. All that was reviewed, and it's almost time to go. Matthew chapter 7. We'll pick up right here. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. All right. Not everyone who says to me, who does what? Says to me. My bad, Auntie. You're not there yet?
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. Not everyone who says to me. Now, everybody here, we've been on earth a pretty good long time. We done heard a whole bunch of folk talking. Right? We've heard a lot of folk talking. The old saying used to be, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who enters in? Don't worry, he says it, comma. But he who does, and by the way, that's in the present tense, meaning he is constantly obeying the will of my Father who is in heaven, will enter. How clear is that? Jesus is saying, you've turned the honorable and powerful Lord, Lord, even doubled up on it. I'm very serious. Lord, Lord. They've turned it into an empty title. Why? Because of their disobedience. You're saying, Lord, Lord, what you're saying is reverential and honorable, but your actions fall far from it. So when you call me, Lord, Lord, in the midst of your disobedience, it's empty rhetoric. It's an empty title. Lord, Lord. I'm not your Lord, because Lord means master, owner, controller. You are certainly, certainly not acting like my slave. If I am king and over your life, you certainly, certainly not acting like a loyal, worthy subject. And so he asks them, so he tells them, not everyone who says to me, Lord, 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 you can't talk your way into heaven. You can fool man all of the time. Still thinking about, I know it's a rerun, still thinking about the deacon. Many years, deacon in the church for years. And he was the BTK killer. Bind, torture, and kill. He was a serial killer while going to church and the deacon in the church, and no one had no idea. He killed a bunch of folks early and took about 20 years off and then came back out. That's when he got caught. You can fool man all of the time. Because even when there's an inkling in your heart, that even comes from God, that something may be wrong with him. That even comes. You can fool man all of the time, but you never can fool God. Jesus said that which is done in the closet is going to come out on the rooftop. And I love the word closet. He didn't just say that which is done in the house. He didn't even say that which is done in the bedroom. He said that which is done in the closet of the bedroom of the house. Way down. And of course, closet also is also in the back of the heart. It's going to get exposed. Word of life. Word of lifers. Make sure that you're living this thing out. Because if there is a secret life of shame, God said it's going to be exposed. And you never know when. Amen. Some people, the word of God says, whose sin and shame follow after. There's one great expositor, great teacher, known the world over. Books help thousands of ministries. Year after he died, it was finding out he owned a series of massage parlors and some things was going on in there. We were all shocked. He was seen, he was looked at as a hero and a giant of the faith. We need to really, really check ourselves. Like the song says, not to be content nor satisfied with where we are. No, you can't walk, talk your way in heaven. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. But he who does and consistently does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say, you see that word say? There it is. They do a lot of talking. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Here it goes, double up again. Lord, Lord. Did we not prophesy? Oh, look at these next three words. In your name. And in your name, cast out demons. And in your name, perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What? Do you know that that means that that word never means not for one moment in time have I ever known you? Let me tell you how scary this is. They were greatly deceived. They were serious. Lord, Lord. They knew to double up. In your name did we do these things. Hold on. I don't think y'all caught this yet. Because people argue. They don't understand. They don't, there's no argument. People argue about verse 22. Well, did they really prophesy? Did they really cast out demons? Did they really perform any miracles? It doesn't make a difference. Why? Because he never knew them. So they were unsaved. Bottom line. So why argue about that? So the answer is, you said, didn't we do those in your name? No. Because in my name means according to my will and my purpose. A sinner can't do anything in Jesus' name. And again, name doesn't mean Jesus. Again, name means in his will, according to his purpose, for his glory, for his exaltation, for his honor. Sinner can't do it. And if he says, I never knew you, that means you are a sinner. Because the word of God says the Lord knows those who are his. And here he said, I never knew you. It means that they were never saved and they never belonged to him. I'm telling you, you have many, many, many professing Christians. It's not just back in the Pharisees' time. Right now, who are convinced they are saved. Convinced. They know how to sound, Lord, Lord, sound holy, sound righteous, sound veteran-y. It's not a word. Sound like a veteran. Oh, look at them. Wow, this is how they say God. G-A-W-D, God, you know, that, wow, that's a, woo, that's a holy person. But that's what we tend to do. You got folks singing in the choir, I mean, got the most beautiful voice, have the whole crowd crying, and they nowhere near Christ Jesus. People are singing, quote unquote, in his name, not really because they don't know him. People are preaching, supposedly, in his name, performing all kind of stuff in his name, and it's not in his name at all. They were stunned. Look how this is so harsh, but true. And then I will see, first of all, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day. And now it's Jesus' turn to say. Verse 23. And then I will declare to them. Now it's my turn to speak. I never knew you. You never belonged to me. You have never been saved. You are still dead in the trespasses of your sins. Depart from me. Get away from me. Get out of my face, ye who practice lawlessness. Uh-oh. Is there any wonder then about verse 22? Whatever you did, he said it was lawlessness. It was iniquitous. It was not godly. It was not righteous. So why argue about what it was? He completely dismissed it. He told you what it was. It was lawlessness, ungodliness, unrighteousness. Bottom line, you want to know the moral of the story. There is no substitute for obeying the word of God constantly, consistently, and continuously. Period. There's no substitute for it. You can't work your way into it. You can't speak your way into it. You can't pray your way into it. You can't sing your way into it. You can't act your way into it. You can't perform your way into it. Look over at Luke chapter 6. You see how important doing is, word of life? Do you see that?
Yeah. Amen.
It's not what you're saying to me. It's what you're doing. About what I have said to you or commanded you. Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46. Kind of the same thing, a little more twist to it. You got it? Why do you call? Now he asked a question. The other one, he said, now that one who said, this one he said, it's just like he just had enough. Lord, no. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why are you doing this? And do not do, present tense, constantly, consistently, continuously, what I say. The commentator says, the repetition of Lord, Lord becomes a repetition of titles, not honor or submission. See, that's what's happening. Can you see that? You're calling me Lord, but you're not honoring me with your, how do you honor? With your obedience. Like my mother used to say, don't buy me any Christmas gift, birthday, don't do that. The greatest gift you can give me is to obey me. Other than that, you bringing me a gift and you are a disobedient child, it's nothing to me. She didn't say it that way, but that's what Jesus is saying here. I can just hear the irritation in his voice. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? And do not what I say. You're not honoring me and you're not submitted to me. Verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears, present tense, hearing consistently my words and acts on them, present tense. They are constantly, consistently hearing and come on, preacher, and doing. Can you see the matchup? It corresponds. Your constant hearing leads to constant doing. Unfortunately, y'all know, y'all, again, we all old folks in here, older folks. You've been around people who did a whole lot of hearing, and you've seen their life. There wasn't much doing. Everyone who comes to me and hears me consistently, continuously, my words and acts on them consistently and continually, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted, they constantly heard and they consistently did not act accordingly. To act accordingly is to do what Jesus commanded. I know this is real simple. But to act accordingly is to do what Jesus has commanded us to do. That's accordingly. It's like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. Torrent burst against it. Immediately it collapsed and the ruin of that house was great. Why? Because one obeyed consistently. Because both heard. Let's go over it. Both heard. Both built houses. Difference is the rock that one was built on is a rock of obedience. The other one did not obey. There was no foundation. There was no rock. Do you understand that? Without any real obedience, there is no foundation. Your life is one good storm away from collapsing. And great will be the fall of it. How many pastors have we seen? How many Christians have we seen their lives just go up in flames? Mm-hmm. With a mighty, and the Lord made sure it was very loud too. Yeah. Don't deceive him. You can't deceive him. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask to be looking at our hearts right now. And be real before you. Hallelujah. Because we need to be real before you about us. Help us to see ourselves. And whatever is not of you, take it out. In Jesus' name. I'm telling you, it's nothing new. We've heard this many, many years, but I thank you, Lord, for landing here on how important obeying is. That's what separates you from the fake person. A person at your job or in your life or whatever it is, what's going to slap them upside their head mightily is consistent obedience. They're like, you know, girl, you, boy, y'all something different. I don't know. They may not know what it is. They just know you're different. And that's an opportunity to talk to them. Hey, you know what? I'm just obeying his word. Yeah, share the gospel. John chapter 8. This last one. John 8. We'll stop here. John 8, 31. While you're turning there, I'll just quote this from John 14, 15. If you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. Just flat out. You will keep my commandments. Not you might. Not the odds in your favor. You will keep my commandments. John 14, 15. Okay, John 8, 31. John 8, 31. And we're closing here. John 8, 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him. Now, first of all, that sounds like a good thing. They believed. Man. See, in today's evangelical world, you believe in, we ready to put you in the choir and put you in the pulpit and play the organ, the piano, and the drums all at the same time. Because this dude believed. Wow, we're so excited. Am I right, Ms. Darlene? We ready to just give him the step, put the crown on. Hey, this is the next pastor. No. Jesus said to him who believe, if you continue in my word. Oh, hold on. No. The proof is not that you believed. The proof is that you continue in my word. John 8, 31. John 8, 31. Y'all see that?
Yes.
Not believing. Not getting excited about believing. And of course, that's for us. If you want to be a mature Christian, you don't get excited about external. You watch and you watch and you watch and you watch. For my singles, you watch and you watch and you watch and you watch. And let the Lord speak. John 8, 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue my word, and if you hold fast to my teaching and live in accordance with them, that's what that continue means. Continue in my word means to hold fast to Jesus' teaching and live in accordance with them. That's what that means. If you're doing that, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Some people just cut to the verse. Hey, you know, do you know the truth? And the truth will set you free, girl. You know what I'm saying? I got to tell the truth. That's not what that verse is talking about, Sister Rolanda. He done put a whole lot of prerequisites before you get to verse 32, y'all. He said, you must continue in my word. You must hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them continuously. When you do that, then you'll know, first of all, then you are truly a disciple, mathetes, follower, learner, student, and you. Well, who's the you? The ones who are the true disciples. Well, who are they? The ones who continue in his word. Can you see that? They're the ones who will know the truth. And the truth will make them free. That's not for everybody. That's for true disciples who continue in his word. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That ain't just right. That's a misquoted, jacked up, butchered verse. Yes, sir. There's all kinds of prerequisites there. You got to continue his word. Live according to them continuously. Then you will be deemed by your master, my master, our master, as a true means a real, genuine, bona fide, dyed in the wool disciple. And that one will know the truth. And the truth will make him or her free. The true disciple. Amen. And when you put it down in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will love the gangster. Not you might. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Notice he didn't say you will say it with definite. No. That's the problem. You saying, Lord, Lord. No. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And keep again is going to be constant, consistent, and continuous. Y'all, This is crystal clear. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. The simplicity of it. The hard-hittingness of it. That's not a word, but tonight it is. It hits hard, Father. It's plain. As the old deacon sitting four rows back in Mississippi would say, make it plain, preacher, make it plain. Well, we made it plain, Father. You made it plain for us. We got to obey your word constantly, consistently, and continuously. And then we will be deemed real, genuine, true, bona fide disciples. And we will know the truth. And that truth will set us free. Amen. Let me thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.